Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
Now, let's get back to ticket touting. Now, would you support this law against ticket touting? Fine Gael backbencher Noel Rock expects his legislation to halt ticket touting will get to the line and over the line before St. Patrick's Day. Noel Rock said that the pace at which his proposed bill has moved through the Dáil has been glacial. However, the issue has not been fast-tracked by the Minister for Business and Enterprise and Innovation, Heather Humphreys. He said, will come before the Dáil next Tuesday. Noel said, I've been banging on about this for 3 years, and indeed he has. He's been on the show a few times about it. That's why I wrote the bill and put it before the Dáil, and he's on the line. Noel, good afternoon to you.
Hi, Niall. How are things?
Now I know you've mentioned, well, I am looking here at some of the issues. The issue was back in the headlines again when it emerged that tickets for the Ireland Six Nations clash with England with a face value of 150 were now on sale on secondary ticketing sites like Viagogo at prices from 590 to 2.5 grand.
That's right, yeah.
I mean, who would pay 2.5 grand for a ticket?
I don't know, someone with more money and sense, I'd say.
Now, I would imagine.
It'll be a good game, but I don't think it'll be quite worth that kind of money.
I mean, look, we all know that these secondary sites are owned and affiliated to, you know, the major sites that we're familiar with, like Ticketmaster.
Yep.
And, you know, basically they say they're just facilitators. They're not actually selling the tickets. They're facilitators for people who are selling the tickets. But in saying that, here's the argument, Noel, right? I agree with you, by the way, right? I wouldn't buy tickets from a ticket out, right? But mind you, I'm in a privileged position in some sense that I work in a radio station, and in some opportunity, I do get opportunities to get tickets sometimes from promoters, right? But in saying that, there are people out there who'll say they provide a service for those who couldn't get tickets at the time. And if you're stupid enough to pay 600 quid for a ticket or 1,000 quid for a ticket to see U2 or whatever it is, well, sure, be it on your own head.
Yeah, and I guess that's true up to a point. But the problem is, Niall, that say unlike 10 or 15 years ago, what's happening now is there are what are called advanced routes to market, where if you're a customer with a particular utility company or a particular phone company, or you know the right people from the right company, or indeed if you sign up for a fan club, say for example...
I'll give you an example. Rod Stewart's tickets are coming out on Monday. And that's pre-sale if you belong to a certain network or you're a fan and the fan page. But if you're not, you have to wait till Thursday. Now, by Thursday, I imagine a lot of the tickets will be gone.
They will. I'd be nearly certain they will. I don't know how popular Rod Stewart is anymore, but I imagine he's still quite popular. So, yeah, a lot of them will be gone, right? And touts know this. And they know all the advanced routes to market. And what they do is they corner the market to a certain extent. So an individual tout could often snap up as many as 100, 150 tickets on his or her own from the comfort of their bedroom without having to bat an eyelid. And in the full knowledge, they'll be able to flip all those tickets over for 5 times the profit. So the reason fans...
And how, by the way, how are the touts doing this, Noel? Because there is restrictions that you can only buy 6 or 8 tickets or whatever it is on most of these gigs. So how are the touts doing it?
A lot of cases simply by using multiple credit cards. What they use also is what's called bot software, which is basically automated software where they hit a few buttons and bish, bash, boom, the transaction goes through, multiple transactions go through. So even though, Niall Boylan is restricted from buying 4 tickets on this credit card ending in, I don't know, 4709, there'll be multiple credit cards and multiple names that this person, this tout, can run through simply by clicking a few buttons in a software script. So, you know, that's problematic because that means you're kind of creating the problem down the line where the fans can't get access to the tickets because so many touts have already got them and have cornered the market, in effect. So that's kind of the nub of the problem now.
There's always going to be a demand because, you know, when U2, for example, play, you know, which would be one of the big sellers, tickets are going to be gone in 4 minutes anyway, or 3 or 4 minutes either way, right? If the touts manage to grab 5,000 tickets out of 70,000 tickets, you know, for a big stadium event, for example, it's not really, in the big scheme of things, it's not an awful lot. I mean, there's more than 5,000 people who didn't get tickets. There's probably 100,000 people who want tickets and can't get them.
Absolutely, and right you be. And I mean, there's kind of a natural, you know, competition up to a point. But what used to be solved, I suppose, through, you know, people going to the effort and queuing on at least a level playing pitch.
I thought it was much better in those days, by the way, when we had to queue up. Yeah,
be it queuing in person, exactly. Or indeed just trying to buy them online and getting on at exactly the right time and hitting the website and trying your luck. At least you knew you were competing on a level playing pitch. Whereas now what's happening is while you think you're getting there at 9 a.m. and while you think you're at the front of the queue, you're actually at the back of the queue. Actually, 90% of the tickets are probably sold already through those advance on sale routes. So, you know, you think you're in the queue, but the queue's been getting served all day long and for the last 4 or 5 days, and there's nothing you can really do about it, unfortunately.
And what's with your legislation, your proposed bill, what's going to happen to sites like Seatwave and Viagogo, who are the more official touts?
Yeah. Well, they're the ones that it's aimed at more so than, you know, the lads on the street. You know, it's the websites more so. That's what enables this kind of scale.
And it's another thing, Ticketmaster. I mean, have you met with Ticketmaster, who are the main sellers of tickets, obviously, in this country? What is their feelings? And because they don't seem to want to talk about it, what is their feelings on Seatwave and Viagogo? And
well, they own Seatwave.
They do. Yeah, I know. So what are their feelings? I mean, do they believe morally they're doing anything wrong?
No, they like you kind of outlined there. They believe they're providing a service and that they're allowing people to effectively get access to tickets by paying a higher price. But like I've outlined to you there now, there's something, in my opinion, wrong about someone buying up tickets, you know, it'd be a 5, 10 or 100 with no intention of going to a gig whatsoever or a match. You know, that's simply, they're buying them a corner in that market with a pure view of flipping them over 2, 5, 10 times face value. And when I say the word value, like, they're adding no value to it.
But the argument for Seatwave and Viagogo is they're not selling them beyond face value. They're charging an administration fee.
Oh, sorry, yeah. The sites themselves are charging an administration fee. Now, the administration fee is a pretty sweet deal for them and often will end up...
So the ticket has been sold for 100 quid. The administration fee is 400. that's how they kind of get around it, isn't it? And say they're selling in that face value. So if your proposed bill comes through, what's going to change there?
Well, that's not quite what happens, Niall. What happens is they charge, I think it's 15% to the buyer and 15% to the seller. And let's say you're a person with 10 tickets to a U2 concert that you have no intention of going to. You can list them for a grand. Then Seatwave or Viagogo or whoever will add a commission fee on you, 15%, so 150 quid on a ticket where the face value was only 100 quid. And then a commission charge on me, the buyer, of 150 quid. So they've made 300 quid. Even though they've never held the ticket in their hands, out of a ticket worth 100 quid, and you've made off with a grand. So, you know, for those sites, it's a pretty good deal.
So, but you do have no objection to people, you know, say a website facilitating people who want to sell tickets who maybe just can't go, maybe they've had a death in the family, or they're unwell, or they can't go.
Correct. Allowing for the face value facilitation of swapping tickets or selling tickets. No, there's no issue there at all.
With a small administration fee maybe in between, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, there's no issue with that. Like, I mean, that happens to us all. You know, you forget it's your anniversary that night, or you forget there's something on that night.
Noel, you never forget it's your anniversary. Can I just say that, right?
Or, you know, the Niall Boylan show is on and you realise you can't go to the concert that night. You know, whatever. And that happens. You know, like, I have a party event now. I intended to go to the Ireland-Georgia soccer game in the Aviva. There's a party event down in Wexford that night, so I can't go to that. But that's life, you know, and I'll have to offload those tickets.
But the guys that are at the gigs, so you have the official sites who are doing it en masse, right? Then you have the guys, the dubious-looking chaps that, you know, walk around the gigs and, you know, they're, anyone buying or selling the tickets? Now, they're gamblers, essentially, because they might buy 20 tickets for a gig. The gig mightn't sell out, and they end up selling them less than face value, or vice versa. The gig could be a sellout, and they make a few quid for themselves. People say, well, they're just entrepreneurs.
Yeah, well, I mean, to an extent they are. I'm really not intending to have a go at them. They're just kind of caught in the crossfire because this has become such an automated, big, big money industry now. And it is a big money industry.
Oh, it's huge. It's massive, yes.
You know?
Because, as we all know now, ticket prices are not less than 100 quid for a good gig now. You know what I mean?
That's it. Those lads obviously aren't making billions off it, but there are people who are making a fair chunk of change off it. So the law obviously has to affect everybody equally, but the law will affect those lads as well outside venues.
So what will the law state, Noel? What will this law...
In effect, the law will state that you can't sell tickets for above the face value of what you paid for them. And now, it's been brought in other countries before, and it's been effective in other countries before. So when you asked me earlier on, like, what happens to those websites? In Belgium, when they brought it in, the websites closed down. They closed that day.
Because there wasn't enough money in it for them.
Yeah. They just said, right, goodbye, good luck. And, you know, that's what people think. Like, the Irish people agree with that. So we did a poll.
And what about the pre-selling, you know, from certain networks and fan sites? Should that be illegal too?
I think we're going to have to look at that in the future, I think.
I think it's a bit unfair.
Yeah, for now it remains legal. What we might do...
Surely the Competition Authority would have an issue, should have an issue with that.
We've been in touch with the Competition and Consumer Protection Commissioner about all the issues around ticket selling. And one of the things that we're considering looking at is the idea that even if pre-sales remain, that you'll be able to see very clearly as a punter what percentage of tickets are sold in a pre-sale and what routes the pre-sale is happening through. So you'll be able to see, for example, before, say, U2 tickets go on sale on Monday, you'll be able to go on to Ticketmaster or whatever on the Thursday and be able to see, if I'm with that mobile phone network, I can buy them on Friday. If I'm with this electricity company, I can buy them on Saturday. And if I'm a member of the U2 fan club, I can buy them on Sunday. Maybe I should go one of those routes.
But I would agree with you in a sense that I do believe it's unfair that you have to be part of a phone network to get those advanced sales. I think that's really unfair because basically what they're doing is pulling, you know, they're using their power and trying to get people obviously to get onto their network. I understand that's obviously the point of it, you know what I mean? But I think it's unfair because this is something that's completely unrelated to the network.
No, it is. And for the normal punter, you know, I mean, the reality is people don't have unlimited deep pockets. And like, I mean, I go to the odd gig. More so I go to matches, though. And there's always kind of an unwritten rule in sport that it's the worst thing in the world to try and gouge a fellow fan and try and sell above face value. Like, you can't go, even to the Ireland-England game in the Aviva, if you can't go, you just offload it at face value because there before the grace of God go I, and I could be on the other end of that sales transaction another day, you know, that way. Mm-hmm. So I'd always go into it with that view, and that's kind of why I wrote this legislation, and that's why I'm kind of pursuing it now, because I just think nobody has unlimited deep pockets, and times are always tight for people. And I like the idea that a decent working family and a decent working man and woman can go and have a concert and a gig and a night out at the band they like without being gouged or fleeced by people who are trying to effectively do them over.
All right, so when do you expect the legislation to be signed through?
Second stage, which is kind of your most substantive stage of legislation, is on Tuesday, and then we'll be looking at getting it through by Patrick's Day.
All right, okay. All right, well, look, well done. I know you've been at it for about 3 years now, and you've been going on about it for about 3 years, so well done, and congratulations on getting that legislation.
Thanks a million, Niall. I realise it's not the biggest thing in people's lives in the world.
For a lot of people who've been fleeced over the years, it probably is. Yeah. All right, look, Noel, thanks very much indeed. There you go. Noel Rock, TD, who's responsible for that piece of legislation, which will go through for possibly St. Patrick's Day. But Alan, you're on Classic Kids. How you doing, Alan?
Niall, how are you?
Alan, do you think it's a good idea to have legislation to stop, you know, people selling tickets for above face value?
Yes, yes, yes. So if we look at ticket touts, their whole aim is to buy as many tickets as they can and then flog them at a higher price. Mm-hmm. That's what they do. Every concert or football match, that's what they do.
Yeah, that's their aim.
That's their aim. So it's about time they were pulled into line, that was stopped, because it's unfair on the genuine fans who actually might save a bit of money in order to buy a ticket to a match and then to have some tool just throw money, and his whole aim is just to gouge people for as much as he possibly can.
Yeah, but a lot of those ticket touts, the ones particularly, I suppose, that would be outside the game or outside the event, they sometimes lose money because they will you know, punt on a gig that maybe wasn't a sellout.
Yeah, but so they lose on one game, but how much have they made on the previous game or the previous concert?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I'm sure they're making money.
Those guys, yeah, they're not doing it because they're losing money. They're doing it because they're making money. Now, people also take responsibility and not pay these people stupid money for tickets. That needs to stop, but we need to stop this at source, that someone can't buy 20 tickets to a concert. So if you take the All Blacks match, where those tickets were in high demand, now they all sold in pre-sale, so they never actually went in general sale, I don't think. But you shouldn't have someone who can buy 20 or 30 tickets, then to gouge people to get as much as possibly can, because some people will never get to see Ireland play the All Blacks in a match in their life. And it's unfair on those people who are genuine fans.
No, I understand. But the thing about it is, even if ticket sales weren't there and this legislation went through, they still might never get to see them. Because it is, I mean, it's like a lottery. When you go online, and I thankfully I've never done it, to be honest with you, but when you sit there with your two laptops and your computer on a Thursday morning, on the morning of release of these tickets, you know, for a big gig or a big event or a big match or whatever it is, you know, trying to get the tickets is nigh on impossible. Years ago, at least you knew you had a chance if you had to queue up the night before.
Yeah, but it's so if everyone has the same chance to log on and then try buy tickets, mm-hmm. or if you're part of a mobile network or whatever that may be, everyone has a fairer chance that way than someone who has the resources just to go and buy 20 tickets, 30 tickets, 50 tickets. So for me, it's unfair on the genuine supporter who sometimes is caught out because they can't afford to pay that higher price.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we need to be fair to people. And I think in the long run, it'll work out better. We get more genuine supporters at matches. And we cut off the touts making a fortune out of people who really can't afford and probably shouldn't be paying the money they're paying for it.
All right, well, hold on a second, because on the 5th to the 7th of July 2019 in Palmerstown House Estate in Naas, there's a big gig on. It's called Forever Young. And for all those people who are fans of, you know, all the old bands like Frankie Goes to Hollywood, Holly Johnson, and many other big acts from the 80s, the Human League and Level 42 and Kim Wilde and Midgeur and Bonnie Tyler and Jimmy Somerville, of course, Tell Me Why... Mark Almond, Tainted Love, all those big acts from the 70s, or from the 80s, should I say, that you were fans of, they're all playing at one gig. How they managed to get them all at one gig is beyond me, and it's on in Palmerstown House Estate. And Sharon is involved in the organisation of this particular event. It's her brainchild, actually. Sharon, how are you doing?
Hi, Niall. Hiya.
I didn't even know you were involved in this.
Ah, you see, I wear two hats. I wear my vet's hat and my festival promoter hat.
What an amazing lineup, by the way.
Oh, I tell you, it's as you say, a brainchild. It really is, because it's been a labour of love for a long time to get it together.
Yeah, well, I'm going, by the way. Can I just point out? I'm going. So,
you are, because you've got to come on and announce one of the acts. I haven't decided who yet. With that Jimmy Somerville impression, maybe you need to come on and announce
Jimmy. Tell me why! Yeah, absolutely. I'll come on and announce Jimmy Somerville. So, Sharon, are you in favour of Noel's legislation?
Look, I'm absolutely in favour. I've been on this subject before. It's as soon as they rang me and said, do you want to come on this? Because my heckles go up. I find it so infuriating. Touting as an industry wasn't that bad before. You know, nobody really minded going and paying a guy on the gate an extra sort of 20, 50 quid because you wanted to go to the gig and you hadn't got a ticket. It's the electronic touting system. It's the companies funded by the big ticket organisers themselves. It's the software that blew everybody else out of the water from getting a chance of getting a ticket. Now, with Forever Young, what we've done is, because I feel really passionately about it, all the tickets go out with a name. You have to have ID to come with that ticket and a maximum of 10 tickets. And any ticket resales have to go through our site. And we're making provision for that on the site so that hopefully when we sell out the festival, I can't see why not. You've read out some of the lineup.
I'm looking at the lineup here. The Christians, Heaven 17. I loved Heaven 17. Been lonesome. Big Country, of course, in a Big Country. What a great cracking hit. Tapao, China in Your Hand.
Absolutely. It's like an 80s, isn't it? Like an 80s greatest
Box
hits.
Box Fizz, for God's sake.
Oh, bless them. They're so much fun. They still do the little skirts ripping off thing. It's fantastic.
Taya Wilcox, what a mystery.
she's enigmatic to this day. I love her.
China Crisis. The list is endless. Hazel O'Connor, what a great cracking track Will You Was. Are these all going to be on the one gig?
All over the weekend, it's Friday night, it's all day Saturday, all day Sunday. The lineup is just incredible.
It's incredible. I've never seen such a lineup in my life.
No, I mean, there's 80s festivals that have been going on across Europe and across the world, but they just hadn't really kicked off in Ireland. And I needed a good vehicle to help me launch this national animal charity that I'm launching next year or this year.
There isn't an 80s artist that I can think of that's not on the lineup. Katrina and the Waves is there. Imagination, of course, Just an Illusion. What a great track that was too. I'm looking here and we see who else. Andrew Strong from The Commitments. What a great artist. Doctor and the Medics. Spirit in the Sky.
They're so much fun. Yeah.
I mean, it's
so
an amazing lineup. And are tickets on sale for this already, by the way?
Tickets went on sale. We did a little pre-sale in December just to get out some early bird tickets at a great price for people that wanted to, you know, get on the app before Christmas. And then they've gone on general sale at the general price, which actually works out at less than €8, €7 an act or something when you actually look at the weekend price. It's fantastic value. But if we do sell out, we'll raise enough money to launch one or two of our new charity clinics this year. And that's the key driving thing for me. But because I'm pretty passionate, I'm passionate about about the animals. I'm very passionate about music and things like ticket touting through electronic ticketing bot software and everything. It just drives me mad. And that's why.
So what are you going to do? What are you going to do if it sells out and you suddenly start seeing tickets on SeatWave? Mind you, if no legislation comes in before.
I'll cancel the barcodes. I have absolute control through the ticketing company we're using. I'll cancel the barcodes. That's why we didn't use a big ticketing agent like Ticketmaster or whatever. They're not fussed about that. We're small fry compared to what they do. But, you know, it'll hopefully...
This gig is not small fry.
No, but hopefully it'll make a lot of people sit up and go, you know what, there is another way of doing this. Yes, I think the legislation needs to come in, as long as it's structured properly. You know, I mean, if I suddenly couldn't go to a gig... you know, Springsteen was playing before and two of my friends couldn't get over because the flight got cancelled. So I had a couple of tickets to, you know, and I sold them off. In fact, I only sold one of them, so I lost money. You know, sold them off to somebody that could just take a ticket on the day. That sort of thing, you know, that's fine. And if somebody comes to me on the site and says, you know, God, you know, my mum's in hospital or anything that's reasonable, I will happily transfer the tickets over to somebody else. Not a problem. But, you know, it's just people that just go out there and flaunt the system. I mean, I'd love to get an England Ireland ticket. My brother's coming over for it, and you know, I couldn't get one. You know, a member of rugby clubs and all sorts of things for free. So,
yeah.
But I couldn't get one for love nor money. And yeah, I looked online thinking, well, my brother's coming over; it'd be lovely to go. But I can't afford £1,000 for a ticket to go to a rugby game, and I'd have to take Ben, and I'm not paying £1,000 for an 8-year-old child. You know,
I'm looking at this event, by the way. You can go for a weekend with camping. This is like Glastonbury. You can go for the weekend. You can do a bit of camping as well.
Glamping. You don't even need to bring all the stuff, just turn up, pre-book a, you know, we've got some great glamping providers who just set up a whole field of either just a basic tent or big yurts and bell pads, and there's something you can book for beds in them, electric in them. I mean people.
And I think it's going to be a very well-behaved event because the age group, of course, going to this are going to be probably in their 40s.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it'll be a good, well-behaved age group, and it's an amazing gig. I just didn't know you were involved in this. This is incredible.
I mean, the vibe, now, there's a very similar three-day festival in UK. Started off just one near London in Henley, spread to two and spread to three events now throughout the year that do a very similar format. And I pinched their original founder, who's now working as our festival consultant, and he set up Rewind Festivals. And the amount of people actually coming to Forever Young that go, oh, my God, we are so glad it's here because... You know, we've been going over to UK for Rewind for the last 10 years. You know, it works because you get a group of people in a field, hopefully the sun shining, 40 to 60-year-olds, all remembering what it was like to be 15, all remembering how they felt in the 80s when that song comes on. You know, when Vienna comes on and Midge hits those first few little chords of Vienna.
It means nothing to me.
Exactly. The whole field goes silent and everybody just stands still and everybody's like, oh my God, you remember how we felt when we were young. You know, that, you get a whole load of, you get 20,000 people with that feeling. It's jolly. It's happy. You don't get...
I think you're going to get more than 20,000, to be honest with you.
Well, everyone loves it. I mean, the Rewind family is the same people, probably 75% of the same people go every year. You get to know people. Everybody's in a great mood. So the vibe, it's not so many people come because, and it's their first festival. The amount of inquiries I've had, oh, I've never been to a festival. What do I do about this? Is because it's not... You know, if you think of festival and you think of Glastonbury or picnic and lots of teenagers and lots of, you know, wackiness and slightly sometimes daunting things for our generation, it's nothing like that. It's a huge party with the best music ever in a field. Well, not just in a field. You know, we've managed to get Palmerstown House, who are the most wonderful people to work with. Anybody wants a wedding there, go, because they're incredible. But it's a beautiful setting. It's all laid out beautifully. It's beautiful grassland estate.
Well, look, I think country house.
I mean, it's incredible.
Sharon, you've just sold it. You've just sold it to everybody listening. I'm looking at the lineup here, and it's on the 5th to the 7th of July. And you, of course, support this ban on ticket touting. And if anybody wants to try and ticket tout on this and sell above face value, Sharon is on the ball. She would just ban the barcode on the ticket. You won't get in anyway. But stay there very quickly because I want to go to Morris before I go to the break. Morris, you're on Classic Hits. Sorry, I'm running way out of time here, Morris.
Yeah, no, great. Just to let Sharon know, if she wants to get a great day for the match out Ireland and England, I wouldn't pay that money either. There's a pub in Dublin near the ground called Becky Morgan's. Great atmosphere, great food, and you'll really enjoy the match and your brother will enjoy it as well. It's a great pub. I've been going there for over 20 years.
Right, so just watch it on the big screen right beside the game.
Exactly. Yeah. Get up all the atmosphere. It's just as good, really, really and truly.
Morris, should it be illegal to sell tickets above face value?
Yeah, I think they're bandits without masks on. You know, it's horrible to see the ads, like she said, £1,000 to see a rugby match. So if two people...
$2,500 on Viagogo, for the Six Nations Clash. Yeah.
Yeah, I think what they should do is the relative authorities should find out where the tickets came from and ban that person that sold them onto the bloody touts.
All right, okay. Well, listen, thank you very much indeed, Morris. Sharon, thank you. I'm sure we'll talk to you again about this. It's an amazing gig, an amazing venue. As I said, it's on a Palmerston House estate. It's on between the 5th and the 7th of July this year. And the tickets are available on foreveryoungfestival.ie. So if you go to foreveryoungfestival.ie, you will see it there and you'll see the lineup. It is just incredible. Sharon, thanks. I'm sure we'll talk to you again.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic Hit.